good Saturday afternoon to you. It is a good Saturday afternoon, trust me. It's been a great week. I don't know about you. Boy, the weather. Talk about a roller coaster. I woke up Friday morning thinking it was time to go deer hunt again. Okay, totally off subject. When did physical labor hurt so much? What age did that start? Here at the farm doing a few things, getting, you know, the springtime work for deer hunting in the clear cut done. We got a mess over there and it's, we need a lot more money and somebody that can run some big equipment is what we need. But boy, I tell you, just doing a little bit of that and then riding the tractor bushhogging a little bit. Just goodness gracious. I think it's more inactivity though. Of course, my wife said I started going downhill when I hit 35. Go figure that one out. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you the next hour or so, and you're listening to it on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer, out of Greenville, South Carolina. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Going to be a good show. We're going to mix it up a little bit today. We're going to run that 15-minute break at 10 because it shortly thereafter, we're going to be talking to Britt Myers, Bassmaster Elite from Lake Wylie, South Carolina, who won the Winya Bay Tournament by running 100 miles each way to get to the Cooper River. It's going to be an interesting story. I've talked to him a couple times, and I was there. I decided it's not me going to these tournaments. I just happen to show up when these guys are really fishing well. So, got that. We got Daniel Nussbaum from Z-Man Fishing is going to be on with us after the bottom of the hour break. And I got a... You know, of course, it's Mother's Day, so I'm going to have to give us some, going to have to talk about mothers for a little bit in that last segment. If you had a mother like mine, you had a better than average chance of making it, no matter what you did to try to mess yourself up. But anyway, how many of you moved college kids home this past week? Congratulations for getting them through another year. I had mine finished up her freshman year, and, you know, it's nice when your kids go to college in really nice places like Charleston, where when you go to see them or pick them up, you can go fishing. She wanted to go to the beach for a day, so I got to go red fishing on Wednesday with a good friend of mine, Captain John Fuss from Holy City Fishing Charters. Been fishing together about 10 years, and, quit baiting my hook about 2 years ago. Lets me bait my own hook now, and still will net the fish for him if I need him to. But the red fishing is good. Had to go to the farm for a couple of days. The brim bite, man, it's, you just need to go fishing. Trust me. Trout, DNR, both in North Carolina and South Carolina are stocking trout streams now. It's catch and release, delayed harvest, put and take. General season opens up in North Carolina the first Saturday in June. So it's just a good time to be outside. Hope you're finding time to go out there. Turkey season, well, another set of unused turkey tags hits the old memory box, just never made it out there. And for those of you wondering, last week we talked to Anthony Gagliardi, and he was talking about we'd come back on and talk about what he didn't do right at Pickwick. He locked out of Pickwick on Thursday, you know, going through the locks to get to another lake. Coming back in that afternoon, there was a barge that was having trouble, and 32 anglers got trapped in the lock. And we're 3 hours late for weigh-in and, of course, disqualified. So he only weighed fish on Friday, 13 pounds something, which is about what he had the first day. And it would have been a pretty good tournament for him, I think. But he got disqualified on Thursday, so he's not I'm sure when I talk to him next time, he's going to be like, well, can we just skip the Pickwick update and go to something else? Oh, man. But, you know, that's the risk you take in these tournaments. I wondered about, you know, if there was a procedure to go through to ask forgiveness or, you know, get an exemption or something. It's not. It's just, there's no way. So, you know, no fault of their own, but things didn't go well for a lot of guys up at Pickwick Lake on the FLW tournament. So, let's go to this break early. Going to get a hold of Britt. He's traveling to Toledo Bend right now. Yeah, it was good enough to join us. And then we'll catch up to another South Carolina angler winning another big fishing tournament. Hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side. In no hurry today. Well, That's not quite true. You know, I've been around a lot of South Carolina anglers fishing in big tournaments and all, and somehow or another, I'm always there at the right time. And I hit the right time at Winya Bay, got to see another South Carolina angler win another big tournament. That's Britt Myers from Lake Wylie, and he's here with us. Britt, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, you're welcome. You are more than welcome. Look, before we get into all the whatever we're going to talk about today, I want you to know I had the most fun sitting there talking to your mom and your wife before that tournament weigh-in started than I've had in a long time. They're just a great group of family members for you, I'm sure.
Man, it was an awesome deal. And you know what? This morning I told her, I was going to be on the radio with you guys, and she was like, he's a good luck charm. She was telling me about the three wins that you helped acquire.
No, don't lay that on me. Although, let's see. I don't know what it is. I started this show. The first big tournament I went to was the Cup. Anthony Gagliardi wins it. I hung out with the guys from University of South Carolina that won the FLW Lake Murray. I was there when Casey won the Classic. I don't know. It's been fun, but I think what happens is I'm just happen to be there when you guys are on your A game. That's all there is.
That might be true, but if it's good luck, I might buy you a plane ticket to Louisiana next week. You can come hang out with me there.
Hey, you tell me I'm there. But, you've never been on the show with us. And like I told you at Winya, I'm gradually widening my horizons of bass fishing and all. So take just a minute and tell us about yourself, and how you got into bass fishing.
When I was a kid, my grandfather used to take me fishing, and we just fished from the banks, and we had a good time, and I was just eat up with fishing. Like on Wednesday, if he would tell me that we were going fishing, the following Saturday, I wouldn't even sleep for 3 or 4 days, and I just loved it. And as I got older, I had a buddy of mine invite me one time to go fish on Lake Norman, to go fish a Monday night tournament. And when I got in a bass boat and guys were racing the fishing spot, I was hooked. It was over, that's probably been, over 20 years ago. Uh-huh. And ever since then, I've just been hard at it. I'm a huge fan of the sport. I'm eat up with it just like I was, when I was a kid, and nothing's changed.
I was just over in Chester, just a little bit south of Lake Wylie, over the farm last couple of days, fishing the same pond my granddad and I used to fish. And it seems like every time I get there, I remember something else we used to do,
Yeah.
What a great way to grow up, fishing with granddad.
That's exactly right. I can remember my first fish. I can remember just tons about it. And, that's what fishing's all about, and that's what we tell people all the time. If you got a neighbor who doesn't fish and their son wants to go fishing, do whatever you can to take the time to take them fishing, because they will remember that for the rest of their life for sure.
That's exactly right. Back in January, I did a top 10 things you need to do in 2016, and one of the first ones was take somebody fishing.
That's very influential, just getting people to the outdoors. In this sport, I've met so many people, whether they're attorneys or school teachers, and their profession is completely different, but they all have the love for the outdoors. And it started by somebody taking them out there.
Yeah. And somebody's got to make that first move,
That's exactly right.
Well, Bassmaster takes you back to March the 6th, 2005. So that's at least 11 years on the Bassmaster Elite or association with Bassmaster. 56 times in the money. You had 2 second place before Winya Bay. Now Winya Bay gives you that one win on that spec sheet, which has got to feel really good.
It does. Originally I started fishing like the pro-am type events, which is called the Bass Opens. And I really just, because it's amateurs competing against the pros. And that's how I got started. I just wanted to see how I could do against some of the pros. And the first year I did it, I actually qualified and got my, berth into the Elite Series. And, as I said on stage when I won, I've watched a lot of my friends win those trophies and just just wondered how awesome that would be to be able to win a tournament like that. And to get that, it was pretty special.
You know, a lot of people out there might be sitting here thinking, well, gosh, you know, how many times do you got to fish to win a tournament? Well, you got to understand there's only like 7 or 8 of these tournaments a year. So you still got a pretty good winning percentage, even though you only won one, you know. If you only win one or two your whole career, you still got a pretty good percentage of winning.
Yeah, it's not like NASCAR. I don't know the numbers where there's only, I don't know how many cars compete. I should know that, but, you know, maybe there's 20, 15, 30.
43.
I don't know, but.
Isn't it 43, I think? 40,
okay. Okay. So 43 guys. And, you know, there's 108 currently fishing the Elite Series, and they are the best bass anglers in the world. I've had people compare it to golf. You know, like watching Tiger Woods play golf is exceptional to your average person. And that's how good every one of these guys are. A lot of them are from overseas. Their dream is to come here and pursue that. And they're no joke. I mean, they had to qualify. They can't just sign up. It's an extensive qualification to get in there. And you have to keep re-qualifying every year. So, like you said, if there's only, you know, 8 events and there's 100-something guys, that's why, you know, I know of some really, really good anglers who've been fishing for 10, 15, 20 years who've never won one.
Yep.
You know, winning, everything has to go your way, and it did that week for me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that week, Winya Bay, I mean, you got the choice of rivers right there in Georgetown, north of Georgetown. Why in the world would you choose to run 100 miles one way to fish the Cooper?
Well, that was a real high-risk, high-rewards type tournament, and I knew that if you had one big day, just one big day, now you might break down the next.
Right.
Or you may, you know, there's a lot of risk involved in driving a boat that far. But if you had one big day, it could carry you throughout the tournament. And it actually did. The first day, mm-hmm. I had a decent day, a really good day, actually, and that cashed me a check already. So no matter what, I was going to get paid and have a good tournament.
Right.
The second day, I backed it up with a really good day.
Yes.
And that assured me a top 12 finish out of the gate. So, you know, that's why a lot of anglers didn't do it, because you could ruin your year. Your points, you know, there's a bunch of points on the line, end of year bonus money, sponsor bonus money. But to me, I did my homework. You know, I don't live too far away, so
right.
I know the Cooper River has the larger bass, and it really helped out that my very first day of practice was just phenomenal. And when that happened, I knew from then I was going to spend my whole entire tournament there.
Well, that ride, tell us a little bit about the ride, because, you know, I wasn't down there the whole week, and then I wasn't marshaling or anything, because I really didn't want to make that run, to tell you the truth. But, you know, 100 miles, you leave Georgetown, you run all the way down the Intercoast, you got to maneuver Charleston Harbor, and, you know, the wind, boy, those days y'all were there, the wind really blew. So tell us a little bit about the ride back and forth each day.
That's the longest ride that I've ever, you know, have taken in a bass boat. And I think it was the same for about everybody else there that made that run. You know, you had two big harbors. You had actually the Winya Bay.
Right.
Then you had the Intercoastal, which was an extreme long run. And then you got to the Charleston Harbor. So each day the wind blew a different direction. So you knew you were going to get a pounding somewhere. And, you know, the Charleston Harbor was probably the worst one out of the two.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it was only about 5 miles to get across that harbor.
Right.
Now, 5 miles doesn't sound like a long, long way, but when it's 5 miles of Mike Tyson punching in the side, it's a little different. But, I was prepared. I took extra equipment. I took extra trolling motors. I took tools. I took everything you could think of. In case something went down, you know, I could adjust to it and hopefully make it back.
Yeah. What do you think about on a ride that long?
Yeah, well, day one, you're just thinking about getting there and catching 5 fish and making it back. Because, you know, 5 there is probably better than any 5 you're going to catch in any of the other rivers.
Okay.
And then day two, you're thinking about, man, because I had a good day one. So day two, you're thinking, how can I repeat day two? And then a bunch of strange things happen, like things that normally cost you to lose fish. Like, you know, I broke a rod one time during a fish landing, and I still got the fish in the boat. Another time, you know, I set the hook in my string that ties your hoodie tight actually got wrapped around my reel handle. Well, I didn't realize it until I was reeling extremely fast and my reel was like locked against my jaw. You know, then I have to hand line the fish in. You know, and I actually had a prop come apart on the way back, and I had to jump out in the water with just minutes to spare, so I didn't lose my weight that day, and I had to repair that. So day three, we've all seen this. Guys who have those weeks like that,
right,
usually win the tournament.
That's right. Okay?
I mean, it happens like that. So day three, I would start thinking that, and then I would tell myself, like, quit thinking that. You got work to do, you know. So it was and then, you know what was really crazy? All my life, I wanted to win one of these tournaments. And on day four, I knew my family was coming down.
Right.
And, you know, on the ride, I wasn't thinking about winning. I was thinking about, you know, I was missing those guys, and I couldn't wait to see them. And day four was really calm for me. I've been in that position before, and I was a nervous wreck. Years ago in Tennessee, I led a tournament every single day, and I lost it. I actually lost 2 5-pound fish, and I lost the tournament the last 10 minutes of the day four.
Wow.
And that day, and I probably shouldn't say this, that week was probably the most miserable week I've ever had. I was just nervous. I didn't sleep. This event was completely different. After it was all said and done, I think it was just my time to win one.
Yeah. Well, you said going into day four, you would rather be in second or third place rather than first.
I have been there before, and that is no fun. It just, you know, you have a lot more spectators watching on the lake. You get, you know, as much as it's awesome to have them watching you, but at the same time, you got to manage that.
Right.
And, you know, you can't get carried away with being a superstar, I guess you'd say. You really got to manage the boats, and they were awesome. The boats that were there were, I think you know one of those guys.
Yeah.
They were there. They were awesome. They wasn't on the fish, and it allowed me to work that area really good, and ultimately, you know, helped me win the tournament.
Yeah. I was out there Saturday and Sunday, and yeah, everybody was very, you know, very respectful. I know when you came in there, I can't remember whether it was Sunday morning, you know, you came through us all and you said, look, guys, you said, you know, I'm going to move back way back into this cove over here, but I'm going to come back out. If you wouldn't mind, stay back here because I want these fish on this flat to rest while I'm over there fishing those. And, you know, nobody had an issue. We all stayed right there along that dike line and all. And of course, you didn't get many good pictures of you fishing way over there, but we knew you were coming back. And when you came back through, doggone if you didn't pass between us and the camera and you caught one right there.
We got some good pictures. That makes it extra special when you have fans rooting you on, you catch a good fish, and they're cheering for you.
Yep.
And I even said this on stage. It was, even though I live, you know, probably two and a half, three hours
right
away from Winyah Bay, the South Carolina spirit was there, dude. I mean, I would make that long run, and when I finally got to the upper part of the Cooper River, there would be boats sitting on the side of the river, and I would see three or four, you know, I may see a boat get ahead of me, but when I came by, they were standing up, screaming, you know, just throwing their hands in the air. And that, as an angler, your hair like stands up on your back, and it was a lot of fun.
What, one question, and this is a technical question. You may know it. I'm sure you do. We were sitting there waiting for you guys to come up. We had to timed out 1 hour and 27 minutes, 1 hour and 28 minutes for y'all to make that run. But when y'all came up through there, we could look at one boat and know by the rooster tail it wasn't a pro. And one of you guys would come through and your rooster tail would be twice as high and three times as long. Why is that on your boats? Is it just tuned differently than most everybody else's?
No, you know, our boats aren't tuned any different. I mean, now we know how to tweak them. We put the perfect props on them.
Right.
A lot of weakling anglers do too. But we do spend a lot of time, you know, driving our boat, setting them up just perfect, you know.
Okay.
And plus, if you got a 2-hour run, there's not much else you can do other than play with how your boat's running, you know, watching your GPS to see how fast it can go.
Okay.
And a lot of those, you know, right before you saw, you know, like when we were coming, a lot of us were running across some of those flats.
Oh, yeah.
So those are dangerously low.
Yeah.
But they're, there are huge shortcuts to dodge those no wake zones. So right. a lot of times when I would come across those flats, I would be trimmed up exceptionally high.
Okay.
Just to make sure that I didn't hit anything.
Yeah, we kind of grimace every time y'all cut that corner around Pimlico because that's right across one of those roll rice fields and there's stumps in there and levee boxes and all sorts of stuff.
Well, I hit one in practice. And, you know, I hit one in practice when the tide was real low. And as the tournament went on, you know, and I've got a chance to win, I kept telling myself, is it really worth going across that flat? And, but I would just trim it up as high as I could and knew that I had another prop. Hope I didn't damage anything too bad if I did hit something because, you know, you didn't have much time to fish. So you had to capitalize on every second.
Yeah. We got about 2 minutes left and it's Mother's Day and there's a story about your mom. It's just a great one. So give me that story right quick, if you would.
Well, you know, I came in from fishing. I think was that day three or day four? I can't
day
remember.
Four.
It was such a day four and Dave Mercer, bless my mom's heart. Dave Mercer, was playing a good old joke on her and told her that the last guy whose mom actually held a snake before he weighed in, won an Elite Series event. And
that's
he
mean.
Suckered her in, which was an absolute lie, so he suckered her into to holding a snake. But, hey, now that's true, I guess. So the next person might actually do that. It might work out for him. But it was good. You know, we travel all over the country. She didn't get to come to hardly any events.
Right.
That was a local event. She happened to get to come to it. She got more publicity than I did over that snake deal. So life's good for everybody.
Life is great for one Britt Myers after winning Winya Bay. Headed to Lido Bend, right?
That's right. I'm en route right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming in the show with me. Safe travels. This is not going to be the last time you and I talk either.
That's right, man. I'm on my phone is always open. Give me a call. I really enjoyed your, you know, meeting and stuff down there. And you know, we'll get together soon.
That'd be great, Britt. Be careful and good fishing this coming week.
Thank you very much. Thanks
right.
a lot, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. It was. That was so funny. And she does not like snakes. I mean, she's terrified of snakes. She goes, but I'll do anything for my boy if he's going to win. So anyway, hope you enjoyed it. Really nice guy. Neat family. Hang on. We're going to talk to Daniel Nussbaum from Z-Man Fishing when we come back after the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you enjoyed that. Britt's a really nice guy. It's amazing how all these fishing guys are just as nice as they could be when you're there and you meet them and you talk to them. And there's another fishing guy that I know that's pretty nice and hangs out with some fairly nice people, and that's Daniel Nussbaum from Z-Man Fishing. Daniel, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Roger?
I'm good. I've got to start off saying a big thanks to Z-Man Fishing. About 10 years ago, a bunch of us guys on the internet decided we wanted to have a fishing tournament, called it the Put Up or Shut Up. I walked in the door to Z-Man Fishing and said, do you have anything you could give us as a door prize? And you guys just, here, have some of this, and here's a shirt. And y'all have been like that ever since. And you jumped on with me on board with my shirt when I fished the Lake Hartwell thing. And I just want to say thank you to Z-Man, you and Joey, for just being friendly and willing to share your stuff, and you're a corporate sponsor of the South Carolina Outdoor Press Association. We love having you on board with that too. So you got a great company and just, we appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger. We're just a bunch of down to earth people that love fishing, and we want to be strong in our backyard. We're a South Carolina company, and we've always said we want to be strong in our backyard. So we're glad to support a bunch of local fishing clubs, and we're really pleased, you know, when you came to us to use our products when you fished in that FLW event. So thank you.
Yeah, well, it was good. I didn't catch as much as I wanted to during the FLW, but I did catch some, and since then I've gotten into, you know, I learned how to skip a wacky worm, so I've been skipping zinkers to the poor bass at the pond in Chester, and I think they're about worn out.
They love those anchors, and it's a great skipping bait, too. It doesn't tear up at all, and just the buoyancy of our plastic makes it really ideal for skipping, too, because it's not going to sink down on you as much as the other stuff.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, okay, Z-Man, Ladson, South Carolina-based company, how old is the company?
Roger, we've actually been around for about 25 years in one form or another. We're a new consumer brand. We've only been a consumer brand for about 8 or 9 years, but we started about 25 years ago making silicone skirts and supplying them to other companies in the industry.
Okay. All right. And from there, you've gone to, boy, a full line of saltwater, freshwater, plastic baits, jigs, jig heads. I mean, you've pretty much almost got the whole market. If anybody needs something to fish with, you got it.
Yeah, pretty much right now, as far as lures go, the only thing we really don't do is big offshore trolling stuff and hard baits. You know, like you said, soft baits, jigs, and that's just kind of evolved from being a component manufacturer, and we've just kind of spread out from there, and we're going to continue to grow and continue to get our hands into more and more things as we can.
Well, you mentioned how tough your stuff is. So there's two things that really that it makes Z-Man a little bit different. Your stuff, the way it's made, I took a tour of your facility and really neat. I didn't take any pictures and give away any trade secrets or anything, so we're good there. But the buoyancy of your bait and then the Elastec part of your bait, which makes it really tough. Tell us a little bit of how that happens in your products.
Yeah, well, most soft plastic baits that people are familiar with, worms and craws and lizards and swim baits, are made from PVC, and everybody knows PVC. Everybody's familiar with PVC. It's the stuff that a lot of the pipes in your houses are made from. But that's a hard white PVC that they use in pipes. They have to juice it with some serious plasticizers to get it soft, and that really weakens it. So, you know, a regular worm, if you take it and try to stretch it, it'll just tear up. Or if a fish grabs it, a lot of times it'll just tear up.
Mm-hmm.
Our Elastec material is a completely different material from a chemical standpoint. It's a thermoplastic elastomer. And we're the only company in the United States that's using that type of material and this type of technology for fishing lures. And like you alluded to before, it's really perfectly suited for that. It's so durable that we've had people that have caught over 200 bass on one of our worms. I think the record right now is 236 bass
on
one
smoke.
Worm. Yeah, and I wish I could keep one on the end of my line that long without breaking it off, but I can't do that. But the other thing that you mentioned, too, is the buoyancy, which – a lot of people don't really think that buoyancy would be an advantage because, you know, when you're fishing a worm or a lizard or a craw, a lot of times you're fishing it on a jig head or a jig or a Texas rig with a weight. But what the buoyancy allows the bait to do is when it does hit the bottom, it stands up off the bottom. It really never stops moving because there's always a little movement in the water, and it's just a much more natural presentation. It looks more alive. That bait is, you know, if it's a crawfish, the claws are going to be raised. It's a natural defensive posture. If it's a worm on a shaky head, it's going to stand up off the bottom where the fish can see it rather than lay down flat. So it really lends itself well for making most soft plastic baits. And we can do some cool stuff that other companies can't do.
Yeah. Folks, I'm telling you, the tour I got was just great, and it's amazing, the manufacturing process. But it all happens right there. You're totally South Carolina. Now, you do have some stuff that comes in that you in your assembly process and all. But, you know, I just talked to Britt Myers, and we did not get around to the chatterbait. But you are the original chatterbait company. I've never fished one. I fished one for the first time just during practice at the FLW. Since then, I've learned to, you know, put a swim body on it and skip it, and I've caught a few fish on it and all. Go in and tell us a little bit about the chatterbait, how you make it, and then how you're supposed to fish it.
Yeah, the chatterbait is a really neat product. It's really revolutionized things in the bass fishing world in the last 10 years. In fact, I think if you talk to guys like Britt just won a Bassmaster Elite tournament here that I'm sure he told you about a little bit, and two of his fish were caught on the chatterbait.
That's right.
But, you know, it's not just that tournament. I mean, there have probably been, you know, over 100 tournaments won on it in the last 10 years, and it's a really neat deal. It's what we call a bladed swim jig.
Right.
It's a jig, but a blade attaches to the eye of the jig, and when you pull it through the water, it vibrates and oscillates and chatters. That's why we call it that,
right,
back and forth, and really creates a lot of noise, a lot of flash, a lot of vibration, and attracts a lot of bites. The inventors of this product, it was a product that's born in South Carolina.
Okay.
A guy named Ron Davis and his father invented it in their garage in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Okay.
It won a huge tournament down at Lake Okeechobee in 2006, and it just blew up to where they couldn't keep up with the demand. These things were going for $100 a piece on eBay.
Wow.
And that's when they came to Z-Man for some help manufacturing it. So it really kind of blew up onto the scene about 10 years ago, and we've kind of we've taken it over. We bought out the inventors. It's a true success story. Somebody came up with literally a $1 million idea for a fishing lure, we're still making a ton of them right here in South Carolina, selling a ton of them, and I don't think you'll find a serious bass fisherman in the United States that doesn't have some in his boat.
Well, when you tie one on, get ready for a little bit of vibration. It's a lot different. It's a lot different than fishing a spinnerbait. You pick it up and you say, okay, it's got a square spinnerbait blade on it, and you tie the line to the blade itself, but there's a lot of vibration in that thing, which is, it's unnerving the first time you throw it. But then you start thinking, boy, that's throwing off a lot of vibrations in the water those fish are going to pick up on.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and that's why it works so well, because, you know, the fish have that lateral line they use to sense vibration.
Right.
And this thing just kind of drives them nuts just because it puts out so much vibration. And until you really fish one, you don't really, you know, realize – you know what we're talking about by saying vibration, but your whole rod shaking, your rod tip vibrates, and that's kind of one cool thing about it is, you know, when you're fishing it, just winding it around and it's vibrating like crazy. When it stops vibrating, you know, we tell people that's when you set the hook. That's when you rear back on it, because it's either a fish that's grabbed it and caused that blade to stop moving, or you're fouled up in grass and, you know, ripping it out of that grass. A lot of times that causes the fish to charge in and bite. So that's kind of our number one tip. When you feel that blade stop vibrating, set the hook.
And I just saw a little thing out there that y'all are going to unveil a weedless chatterbait at ICAST.
Yeah, we are. We posted a little teaser earlier this week online just to kind of build a little bit of excitement for it. But one thing that we've tried to do is we try to keep on changing and refining the chatterbait a little bit. It's become such an important bait that it's not just one bait. It's really a whole new category of lures, kind of like, you know, spinnerbaits and crankbaits and jigs and now bladed jigs. So we're coming out with a weedless version. It's got a heavy brush guard on it. The one thing that the chatterbait is great for, the original chatterbait and the versions that we have now, is for fishing around grass, because it comes through the grass easy.
Right.
It doesn't get fouled up. If it does get fouled up a little bit, you just jerk that rod, it shakes the grass off of it, and a lot of time triggers a bite. The one thing that the chatterbait isn't so good for, though, is fishing around wood, fishing around laydowns, brush piles, things like that. It just tends to roll over sideways and just get hot. And that's one complaint that we've gotten. And we've played around a lot with weedless versions over the years, but I think we've really got it dialed in right now. We got some really good help from one of our Bassmaster Elite pros, Luke Clawson, getting the angle of the weed guard just right. And, you know, he tested these prototypes for us and fished it through some pretty heavy timber and didn't get it hung up once and didn't miss a single fish on it. So I think we've got it just about right now.
I think you got it. Okay. Well, you got a whole lot of plastic stuff for freshwater, but you're also big saltwater. I mean, that's probably my first introduction to Z-Man was saltwater fishing for redfish. But you got a whole lot of saltwater.
We really do. And, you know, part of that is just because of our location here. I mean, we're right near Charleston. I live, you know, right on the coast. Actually, I just got back from walking down to our neighborhood dock and throwing some Z-Man plastics to try to catch a redfish with my 7-year-old. So it's kind of right in our backyard. I mentioned before, we want to be strong in our backyard. So that's kind of where we decided to get this Elastec plastic going a few years ago, and it really lends itself well to the saltwater fishing just because there's so many fish with teeth,
right.
So many fish that are going to tear up plastics. So really our plastics took off first in the saltwater market about 5 or 6 years ago. I think now you'd be hard-pressed to go into a tackle shop anywhere from Florida all the way up the East Coast and not see at least a little bit of Z-Man. And in some of those shops, you'll probably see a lot more Z-Man than anything else. But just being right here, saltwater fishing is kind of what we love to do. And so we're always coming up with new ideas and testing our baits out on redfish.
Oh, man. I caught a few redfish Wednesday. Now moving Jordan home from college, and old John Fuss took me out, and we caught a few the lazy man way.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, that was my first introduction was through saltwater.
Mm-hmm. And the saltwater stuff's doing really well. We just, bought a small company a couple years ago called Trout Trick,
yeah.
which a lot of people recognize as, you know, really one of the top saltwater baits, inshore baits here. It was a guy named Bob Sanders who was, he was selling one bait and in one size and one color. And, you know, Bob's big thing was educating anglers about how to use the bait. And that
right.
kind of fit with our philosophy of educating anglers. And Bob got ill and had to sell his company, but we've kind of stepped in and we're expanding his product line. We're actually coming out with a new Trout Trick product this summer too. That we're really excited about, and you know, that's really been a big hit for us, not just here in South Carolina, but all the way, you know, through the Gulf Coast, down to Texas, up to Virginia, where people are also really passionate about their trout fishing.
Yeah, that's a Trout Trick is really a, you don't have to have much technique to use it, which is a good thing. It's just throw it mm-hmm. out there and let it move itself, you know?
Yep, let it move itself, twitch it a little bit. The great thing about it is the directions are how to use it, how to fish it, are right on the back of the package. So it's super easy to use. It's just a few easy steps that Bob came up with when he brought this thing to market about 5 or 6 years ago. And if you follow those directions, you will catch trout
will
on
catch
it
trout.
If they're around.
Well,
we caught some big ones on it.
I've caught some big trout on Trout Tricks before, too. It's Mother's Day. Britt told us about a snake story and his mom on day four of the Elite Series. You got a Mother's Day story for me?
You know, I don't know. I don't think I can top Britt's story, but, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, give a big thanks to my mother who, always supported my passion for the outdoors. And, you know, one quick story, I mean, even when I was, you know, 5 years old and 6 years old, she was helping me dig up worms and put them
right.
on my hook. And nobody in my family fishes. But when I was in high school, I got into it pretty seriously. And my mom took me down when I was 15 years old. She took me down to the Florida Keys to fish for 2 days.
Oh, boy.
And the funniest thing, I caught my first sailfish down there, my first snook on that trip. We did a day flats fishing back in the Everglades. And a day of live baiting for sailfish, which was about the coolest thing I'd ever done, catching
yeah.
a sailfish on a spinning rod. But the funny thing about it was, you know, for my mom, being on a flats boat all day and then being on a 25-foot center console all day, the big deal for her is that there was nowhere for her to go to the bathroom all day. So she had to – that's probably what she'd tell you about that trip. I'd tell you about my sailfish and my snook and how much fun it was. She'd tell you how miserable it was not being able to drink anything all day for 2 days and not having anywhere to go to the bathroom, and she still talks about that. But you know, I can't thank my mom enough for you know, helping me along the way and giving me those great experiences, even though, you know, nobody in my family really was into fishing, and I really wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for her and her encouragement of for me to follow my passions.
That's a great one, Daniel. Well, look, I appreciate you coming on. How do people find Z-Man?
You can visit our website, zmanfishing.com. Also, check out Z-Man Fishing Products on Facebook and Z-Man Fishing Products on Instagram. We've got a really active social media presence, lots of great videos. We introduce a new video with one of our pros about one of our products every week.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of great stuff online, and we're easy to find, and we're all over the place now, so check us out.
Very good, Daniel. Appreciate it. And we need to go fishing now.
Sounds good. Just let me know when. I'm always looking for an excuse to do a little bit of R&D.
Very good, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All righty. Well, let's go to break and come back and finish up another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope you've enjoyed the show, but it is Mother's Day tomorrow. I hope all, especially all of us guys who get up at all sorts of weird hours in the morning and are gone, our basements and attics are full of fishing, hunting gear, and our wives know us and they love us and they tolerate us even for all of it. And for the mom, you know, the mother of your kids, I'm sure if your kids are growing up like you are, then she's putting up with them too. I had a great mom. No bones about it. I had one of the best moms that has ever lived, I'm sure. I can remember going with her and my brother squirrel hunting. My mom took me deer hunting. And I was just a kid, had a couple 2x4s nailed up in an oak tree in one of the fields, and I was too young to go by myself. And she said, "Well, I'll take you." And okay, this ought to be interesting. She could put you to shame climbing a tree, let me tell you that. I climbed up onto my 2x4 deer stand, turned around, and my mom is sitting in a tree behind me on a limb. So I had a great mom, and mom, if you're listening, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all you did for me and standing by and the times I've spent outdoors and encouraging me to get out there and do the thing I love the most. I appreciate that. But there's a story out here, six lessons mom taught us about the outdoors. From first steps to first fall to first hike, the moms who raised us to be quite the little adventurers. And here are six things they told us. There's no such thing as bored outside. Don't you dare utter the words, "I'm bored" on an outdoor adventure. Need something to do? Here's a stick. Whittle something. That's right. Whittle something. You may get cut. It'll heal. Make your brother a crown out of flowers. He'll totally appreciate it. Oh, wait, squirrel. Ask for help when you need it. You know, men, we're horrible about asking for help, but your mother always said, you know, ask for help. You might have a few overnight scouting trips under your belt and picked up a snake or two, but you're never too experienced to ask for a little assistance. The key to it is to admit to yourself that you need some help, even if it means being made fun of by your older siblings' super cool buds. 3, Mother Nature appreciates all of your awesomeness. Mother Nature couldn't care less if you have crazy camping hair, haven't grown into your big kid teeth yet, or are wearing hand-me-down gear. She thinks you're the coolest and welcomes you with open arms no matter what. You and Mother Nature should get a set of those best friends forever charm necklaces. Every adventure outside can be special. You don't have to go far. You don't have to summit a mountain. You just have to go outside. Special is bound to happen. Dress appropriately, kiddo. How many of us have heard that? Going outside in shorts and a t-shirt and it's 40 degrees outside. Dressing for the weather and the activity means you can actually enjoy being outside instead of being a whiner like your little sister. Yes, your jelly shoes look awesome, but disobey mom and you'll learn the hard way that they will leave your feet bloody after a hard game of kickball or cold in the outdoors. And 6, the last one, and it's true. It's probably the best one. Hanging out with your mom is always cool. Mom has stories to tell and lessons to teach, and it's amazing how going on an outdoor adventure together can open up conversations you'd never have if you were just watching TV together. Go ahead, take a hike with your mom and see if you can find out what your parents were really like in the 60s. Admittedly, there were a few years in there, like all the teens and some of the 20s, where we may have argued with this lesson, but we can totally appreciate it now. So again, to all you moms out there that have encouraged the outdoors in your family, thank you from Woods and Water, South Carolina. And just a couple of things in closing. Didn't have a calendar today, but I do have a couple of things that I want you to miss out on. Very quickly, there's the Clemson Extension Office in Westminster, South Carolina is having a coyote control seminar May the 17th. It's at the 4-H Oak Grove Barn on Oak Grove Road. About the program, coyotes have a significant impact on wildlife and domesticated animals. However, because of the intelligence of the coyote, controlling them can be frustrating. Workshop will provide basic information on coyote biology, as well as hands-on demonstrations for coyote trapping. Additionally, participants will learn how to trap for coyotes within the law and SCDNR regulations. It's 3.5 hours from 5 to 9. Online registration ends at 11 o'clock on May the 17th, but you can register by walk-ins. Again, that's down at Westminster, South Carolina. You can go to the Clemson Extension office and find out more about that program. A big one coming up that, you know, you kind of get off the rails here a little bit on woods and outside, out of the woods and off the water with this one, but Shaw Air Force Base, what used to be Shaw Fest back in the 80s was every year, and then it went to every other year, and then because of deployments and military cuts and all, didn't have it for a few years. It's back. May the 21st through the 22nd, Thunder Over the Midlands. It's the 75th anniversary. They're going to have a couple of great days. We're working on having somebody from the PRT team at Shaw on the show next Saturday to talk more about this. So I won't ruin steal all their thunder, but you're going to have the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds there, the U.S. Army Black Daggers, F-16 Viper demonstration team, which I got to see last March when they were recertified. The Royal Canadian Air Force is going to be there, an F-18 demo team. You just got a laundry list of, you know, heritage flights. You got a P-51 Mustang, F-4 Corsair, F-80 Shooting Stars, A-10 Thunderbolt II, some of the performers, and then static displays. You got P-51 Mustangs, Stearmans, Chipmunks, just a lot of airplanes. Hey, you're gonna have a F-35 there and an F-22 and F-15 Strike Eagle. So that's, again, that's May 21st through the 22nd. You can find more information on the Shaw Air Force Base website. And then coming up June the 4th is National Trails Day. Going to be a lot of activities going on around the state and across the country. I know the local hiker, we talked about this a little bit last Saturday. Put that on your calendar and make that a day where you are out on a trail. Hey, maybe it's a perfect opportunity for you and your mom to go hiking together and find out what your parents were like in the 60s if you don't know already. You know, it was a great show. I appreciate Britt being on with us. It took us a little time to get together on our schedules because he's fishing and I was busy too, but a really good guy, really great family. South Carolina is really fortunate to have anglers like him, Anthony, Casey, Brandon Cobb represent us in these tournaments and all. Hope if you ever meet him, you'll tell him how much you appreciate him, and it is a tough life. Let's see, Chuck for today. Chuck Norris doesn't play hide and seek. He plays hide and pray I don't find you. Have a great week. Make some time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Be careful. And don't you forget that camera. Be with you next Saturday, same time.